Anyway, let's get into the study tonight. Revelation is where we're at. Revelation 14, thought you know, I'd never say it, I know. Revelation chapter 14, we're looking at the 144,000, that's where we left off. And we're going to pick up with that because I got a lot of things to say tonight. Matter of fact, I got a lot of things I wish I had some graphics for, frankly. To be honest with you, I wish I had some graphics for them as far as putting it up on the screen, but I don't. So let's just look into it. Chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. We know who the lamb is. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping upon their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So we're introduced once again. We were first introduced in chapter 7 to the 144,000. And these are Jews, and they're Jews back up to chapter 7. They are Jewish men out of every tribe, 12,000 out of every tribe. Very, very clear in chapter 7. It starts in verse 5, and it says, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, tribe of Reuben sealed 12,000, and so on. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, the Old Testament type reference to this, you say, why in the world were they sealed? Well, first of all, it says here in Revelation that they were virgins. They weren't defiled with women. We understand what that means. I'm going to get into that in just a second because it has to do with a religion as old as, as old as Genesis 10. But before we go there, let me show you what these guys had by going back to Ezekiel. And there's nothing new about this passage. We go to Ezekiel, and in chapter 9, and of course, Ezekiel is in the middle. There's been people been carried away to captivity. Once again, you probably know this, but the people that were carried away into captivity, they weren't carried all away at once. There were some were carried away, then more were carried away, and so on. In the middle of this thing, Ezekiel's down by the river Chebar. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 9, read it with me, and even though this is speaking historically, if you would, in other words, it's a vision. It's a vision about what's going on, but you cannot see the you can't help but see the prophetical implications to it. Verse 1, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood by the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord, or the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Watch what it says, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. All right, now he goes on and says, now slay everybody else. But you see, he said, now there's a vision here, but in this vision he says, go through. He says, and every man you can find that sighs over this and that just mourns over what's going on. I made mention Sunday morning that there's one of two fundamental positions that everybody in this world seem to be occupied with, or seem to occupy. One is, I would like to know more about the Lord. I would like to go the way of the God of creation. I would like to learn about the Bible. I would like to know the ways of righteousness. I remember years ago, and you've probably never heard it, but Dr. Ruckman told his testimony, and he's got kind of a colorful testimony. But there was something he said. He went to Bob Jones University, and he made this statement. He said, I went to Bob Jones. He said, I didn't know anything about it. He said, I went to Bob Jones University. He said, you know why I picked to go there? He said, it looked like a clean place. And he said, I'd never been in a clean place. He said, I wanted to be in a clean place. Now, you know what? There are those that they just want to go back to the pig pen. And there are those, I can't explain it, but there are those that when you say something about the Lord, they have at least some kind of an interest down in their heart. I guess everybody will say, well, you're trying to make one person better than the other. No, I'm just saying there's a fundamental difference. Some people want righteousness. I told you years ago in World War II, there were Germans that hid Jews. Not because necessarily they thought that the Jews, they liked them as a people, but they just saw what was going on. And just literally a human nature, they said, this is not right. You run across people like that all the time. I mean, lost people can do morally right things. They can choose morally right things. And there are those, they want to go that way, and there are those that if God's there, they're going there. It's that simple. The Bible says, God told Israel, he said, you've sold yourselves for naught. In other words, I want to go that way. How many people here, and you don't even have to raise your hand, okay, but there's not a person here that even this week didn't fail the Lord in your life some way, somehow, say amen. Okay? But you know what? You confessed, you felt bad over it, you wanted to do better. You say, why? Because I really want to do what God wants me to do. I don't always, but I want to. There are people that say, you know what? I'm just going this way. I told you about the guy one time that he attended here, as a matter of fact, and I'm on the back there, and he's walking out, and he was struggling with this sin that he had told me he had going on in his life. He came back and told me, boy, things are going better. Thank you for your advice, blah, 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 so on. But he got right back into it, and he went back, and as he's walking out, he looked at me, he said, you're not going to see me for a long time. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm just tired of fighting it. And at that moment, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to give in. There are those that give in, and there's those that keep fighting. There are those that want the righteousness of God, or they want righteousness. Not even righteousness of God, just right. They just want to be in a right place. Wouldn't you like to be in a country that doesn't believe someone should just get money for existing? Or trophies for participating? You know what you do? You deserve. No one seems to realize that that is so unbelievably unjust. I'm not talking about someone who needs some help. I'm talking about many, many people within our country that are too lazy to go out and get a job. They'd rather sit in their rear ends and have somebody give them something. You know what they deserve? They deserve to starve. I'm sorry, is that too harsh? Well, preacher, I don't think that. You know, don't you wish that you lived in a country that said, you know what, we're going to put border walls up, and we're going to kind of monitor who comes in. Well, I think everybody else. Then what you've done is you've just spat on all the labor that someone who did it right. It's not just. What we've done is we have got a country that acts with their feelings. I feel this is right. This looks so sad, so I'm going to do something about it. Listen, you can't let your feelings run the show because your feelings aren't just. Amen, amen. And so what he says here in Ezekiel, he said, there's a lot of junk, there's a lot of unrighteousness going on. Go through the city, find those that mourn over it. He said, mark them in their forehead. And I'm telling you that in the tribulation period, it's not going to be the Jews as a whole group. It's not going to be all the nation of Israel. Just as it wasn't all the nation of Israel that was right when they were carried into captivity. Many of them, most of them were carried in because they were wicked. Remember, Zechariah tells us that two-thirds aren't going to make it through the fire. They're going to die. God brings judgment. He's clear he brings judgment during this time on the nation of Israel and on the nations. But Israel's not exempt for this thing. And so one mark that we can say, extrapolate from that is these 144,000 are 12,000 out of each tribe that hate what's going on. They hate where their people are going. Now, personally, my opinion is that the Antichrist will arise. If he doesn't arise out of Israel, he will certainly rise out of Jewish blood. You say, why do you say that? Because that prince over there, he will not honor the God of his fathers. God, capital G, of his fathers. And so Israel, well, listen, Israel is not a righteous nation today. It's God's people. You got to love them for the Father's sake, but they're enemies for the gospel's sake. That's what Romans says. They're not a righteous nation. They're not any more righteous than America is. They promote sodomy just like, or they encourage it like we encourage it. They tolerate like we tolerate it. Amen. Have we just... Amen. Yo, welcome tonight. Glad you're here. Amen. Anyway, that's who they are. You say, what about this? They're virgins. But once again, I made mention, I think we left off at this. These are Jews having defiled themselves with women. They're virgins. This has to do with a worship. And matter of fact, it's increasing. Has anybody noticed how our society has become absolutely a pure sensual society? I mean, it is so... on that level, we live in a very, very wicked, sensual society. I feel for you kids having to grow up in it. I didn't grow up in a society like that. Of course, my mom and dad said they didn't grow up in a society like I grew up. And we're just watching it go downhill and go downhill. Very sensual. But this isn't a societal thing. This is a religion thing. I made mention, and if you've never read or if you don't know anything about Alexander Hislop's book, Two Babylons, it's a classic and you ought to get it. And you can also get one by Woodruff, I believe his name. It's called Mystery Babylon. Everything in it came out of Hislop's book, Two Babylons. But what he points out is, now, and I made mention this morning, or this evening, fella came in, don't throw anything at me, but I'm going to make a statement here, okay? Don't throw anything at me, but I'm going to make a statement. I don't think, you know, just as there are statements you make that are almost misleading. When we say, and we tend to say this, but the horror of Revelation 17, the Roman Catholic Church. The horror of Revelation 17 is Mystery Babylon. And Babylon's as old as Genesis 10, long before the Catholic Church ever showed up. But I will tell you this. All through history, there have been religious groups that have embodied Mystery Babylon. And I'll give you one guess about which one does today. If you want to know the truth, to a degree, they all do. Amen. I don't want to throw a wrench into things. I'm going to. We do it. We're coming up on Christmas. We're getting Christmas. We're going to go out. We're going to go out and get the bail bush and bring it in. We're going to go ahead and put lights on it and stuff like that. Are we not? You know where that came from? It came from Babylon. That's where it came from. It's even infiltrated us. There's not a religious group on this earth that it hasn't touched. Amen, amen. Some more than others, but still it's there. Now, it's as old, if you would. Babylonian worship was a goddess worship. I'm going to run through some stuff. There's a woman named Semiramis. How many have heard of her? Semiramis. According to Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, she was the mother of Nimrod. Nimrod is mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. There's a lot of history, ancient history writers, that mentions Semiramis. And she was supposed to be Nimrod's mother. All right. Nimrod, according to Genesis 10, his kingdom was Babel. He was the founder of Babel, as in what would become known as Babylon. Now, Babel was destroyed. I mean, or Babel was stopped. I understand all that, but that's the root of it. Let me give you some stuff that's written out of this thing, or written in this book. This Semiramis is associated. Once again, I'm telling you, listen, listen, listen. It is goddess worship, just like Wicca. It's goddess worship. Do you ever wonder why that there's a movement that started over 100 years ago in America, around the world, and it's power to women, down with men? You better be careful about that. You see that as only a rights thing. There's something beyond that. It has to do with a worship. You know what that woman is? That's the woman is the one that brings forth life. She's the life giver. You ever heard of Gaia? Gaia, the spirit of Mother Earth? That's big in New Age right now. New Age and Wicca run hand in hand. Well, anyway, she's been associated by over 80 ancient historians with Ishtar. You know who Ishtar is? Ishtar was the goddess of fertility. Ishtar is where we got our holy day called Easter. We just pronounce it different. Now we know why that we have eggs. Pray tell, what does the resurrection of Christ have to do with colored eggs and rabbits? But eggs and rabbits, let's see. Ah, that makes sense if you're celebrating a festival of fertility. Now, I don't know if you see where this is going, but it's going to something very, 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 very sensual. All right? Well, anyway, Hyslop in Two Babylons has her and Nimrod involved with each other that produces a child. This is supposed to have been produced after Nimrod is dead, and the child's name was Tammuz. Tammuz is mentioned in your Bible. The women of Israel over in Ezekiel, they are weeping for Tammuz, the Bible says. We'll look at it in a few minutes. That was a Babylonian god who, so it was supposed to be the child of Semiramis, and Semiramis declared that it was Nimrod who came back from the dead. You know, it's an interesting thing a fellow said one time in the Bible. He said, God writes prophecy down, and the fake always shows up first. Antichrist shows up before Jesus Christ. And there was already a claim of someone coming back from the dead before you get out of Genesis historically. Cain was the wicked one. Abel shows up next. Jacob was the one that God loved. Esau he hated. At first, when he shows up, is a bad guy. Your first birth is a bad birth. Amen. Well, anyway, this Tammuz, she claims, was Nimrod returning from the dead. He is a Mesopotamian god who became the personification of a seasonal death and rebirth of crops and was thus worshipped. Go over, if you would, to Ezekiel 8. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8, I want you to look in verse 13. That's the only verse we need to go to. Verse 13. Ezekiel 8:13, it says this. And he said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. That is the son, historically, that's the son of Semiramis. That is the god of, if you would, of the rebirth of the crops. Well, no wonder they're weeping for him. You know why? Haven't you ever read what happened to them when God began to judge them for the captivity? If I remember right, they were eating their babies. Man, he brings famine on them. Remember what he said in Amos? He said, I made it rain in one city and not another city. He said, so that one city had bread and the other city didn't, so that one city had to go to the other city to get their bread and there wasn't enough. Yet you've not returned unto me. There was, listen, I'm just so biblically, I believe the Bible so much, and I'm so simple that I really think, I really believe that if America would wake up and realize where she's at, and if California would wake up and realize what a stinking liberal country they, or city, state they are, and get right with God, maybe we'd have these fires put out, and maybe they get some rain. I laughed here, been a few years back. This is going to sound disgusting to you. It's Bible. You ever read something disgusting in the Bible? Bible says that one of the judgments of God, he said, they're going to eat their own dung and drink their own piss. I'm sorry, that is a Bible word. That's what he said. And I was reading a report, and it showed a picture of Mead Lake. Mead Lake is the lake that is created by the Hoover Dam. You ought to look at it today. It is, at that time, I want to say it was between 40 and 60 feet below the pool level, the normal pool level. It's worse now. They've got these overflow towers where if it gets too high, it comes in, it bypasses it. I bet, I'll guarantee you that those overflow towers are probably, if the front door's going in, the front doors, my bet is those overflow towers are from here to the doors. The water's that far below it. And it used to sit right up there. You say, what's happened? God turned the water off. Amen. Man says it's climate change. Well, maybe, but I know who's changing the climate. It's not man. Amen. Well, you're just one of these religious fanatics, and you believe in all that myth stuff. Well, I tell you what, you keep doing your science, see how it works for you. I'm sick and tired of the people that say they know everything and say that they're projecting this and projecting that, and when every projection is wrong, somehow we're still supposed to call them experts. Amen. The question is always this. The question is always, How long is Pharaoh going to sit and listen to the babblings of the magicians until he decides to call someone that knows what God said? And how long is America going to sit and listen to the babblings of Fauci and everybody else until they finally get back and find out what God said? That's always been the issue. Always is. Fact is you got more. If you have a King James Bible and believe it and read it and know it, you got more on the ball than Fauci has. You got more on the ball than, well, Biden, but most people have more on the ball than Biden. That was not a very good illustration. I'm sorry. Okay. Sometimes I think I'm going to move on. Amen. Well, the fact is after Semiramis' death, they worshipped her. Jeremiah 7. Go there. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. And this is where it's all going. This is where the whole thing's going. Jeremiah chapter 7. And look in verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. They're making cakes to the queen of heaven. Who in the world's a queen of heaven? Well, today she's Mary. But back then she was Semiramis. And when Paul walked around, she was Diana. The Babylonian mystery religion is a goddess religion. I didn't say godless, but it is. But it's a goddess worships what it is. And they're over here needing cakes. They still need cakes to her. We just call them cross buns today. Easter for Ishtar. Got to make the cross buns, don't we? Who came up with that? Listen. Satan's subtle. Then you better start examining where this stuff came from. You better start examining it. Amen. You've got those in Greek mythology, they got those gods and demigods, right? You've got those men that were supposed to be, you know, a hybrid of the gods and of humans and so on. Where do those stories come from? Well, someone just made it up. Normally, stories that are made up don't last real long. But I do remember a time over in the book of Genesis where the angels came down and cohabitated with men, and giants were born, and they became men and renowned. I just wonder if one of them name wasn't Thor. You better look where the stuff comes from. Amen. You say, why? Because that's where it's going. That's where... You remember, they didn't do it, but in King James's England, he had that meeting at Hampton Court. And he had high churchmen, Anglican churchmen that were there. He also had Puritans. Well, Anglicanism is nothing more than, if we could call it, you know, Catholicism with another name. You can call it Catholicism light, whatever you want to call the thing. That's really what it is, all it is. They broke away, but they carried the same worship, the same kind of practices. You know what the Puritans were doing, though? The Puritans were called Puritans because they were Anglicans. Puritans were Anglicans. They just wanted to sponge away every single memory, act, conduct, any kind of manners of the Catholic Church. They wanted to sponge it, just get rid of it out of the Anglican Church. That's why they were called Puritans. And they were considered the fanatics of the day. Amen. Now, they didn't want to do it because they saw the Babylonian worship in it. But I'll tell you this. Can we be honest and say sometimes we get kind of attached to those Babylonian worships? Maybe I understand now, maybe you understand now that he was a great king and he's one that served David and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as David his father did. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. And he was a great king and he was a king that did right in the sight of the Lord after his father David. Nevertheless, the Sodomites remained in the land. You know, once you get used to something, it's hard to get an attitude towards it. Once it becomes part of your holiday tradition. Listen, it's August. You've got a long time to forget this before we get there, okay? Yeah, man. Yeah, man. They worship. Look in Jeremiah 44. Go over there. Jeremiah 44, real fast. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah, look what they answer to Jeremiah. He says in verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we, our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And when we burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and to pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? The implied answer is no, we had men. So they've lost family members since they cut it off. Look up here. You know why? Right now, listen, if America turned back to God right now, I suspect we'd still have hard times. You say, why? Because we have sin that justice demands we pay for it. Justice demands a recompense. And just saying, I'm sorry and getting right. Matter of fact, Jeremiah goes on and said, did he not know? Did he not remember? Amen, amen, amen. When David fasted in hopes that God would spare the child, perchance the Lord would change his mind and spare the child. God didn't spare the child. He didn't get up and say, how dare you, God? He says, what I deserve. That's what I deserve. Amen. We think somehow, if we just clean our act up, that all of the seed sown will just kind of rot in the ground and go away. Hey, sometimes God's gracious, merciful. Sometimes he's merciful, yes? But I got to tell you something, not always. Sometimes he just lets you pay for it. He lets you go ahead and suffer the consequences in this life. Amen. And when he does, we'll find out if you really wanted to get back to him or just wanted your checking account to grow. Amen, amen. Well, I went back to church and nothing changed. It's still bad where I live. All right, well, if that's all you were looking for church, might as well stay home. Amen. Go back over there to Revelation. Anyway, she's worship. Wicca, along with New Age movement, is reviving this worship in modern day. It really is. And I wouldn't recommend you go search it out or look at it, but I'm telling you what, Wicca, the New Age movement, it is reviving this kind of worship. Wicca is all wrapped up in goddess worship. Unequivocally, no question, it is goddess worship. That's the reason why. This promotion, listen, I'm not saying, you know, down with women. I'm not saying women are second class. I'm certainly not saying that at all. I believe that a woman has a God-given position. I believe a man has a God-given position. I think we're supposed to be in our God-given positions. And I don't think the man is the boss, but I do think he's supposed to lead. And we have a lacking there. And I think the wife is supposed to follow, and we have a lacking there. So we got both sides need to get right. And I say all that before I say this. I can't stand the women's movement. I can't stand the movements making effeminate sissies out of men. The wild thing is, you got the women out there and they're making effeminate men, and then they have no respect for the men they made. You ever notice, and I don't have a lot of experience, but I've dealt with enough and I've seen enough where I know this. You know, sodomites? They like to hang around with the girls. And the girls like them. They like them. I guess they're good at makeup or something. I don't know. That stuff's a bunch of junk. It really is. Hey, God made a man to be a man. God made a woman to be a woman. My wife, I forget what we were talking about. Many years ago, I say many, few years back, I know. We were talking about some of this stuff, and she says, I like being a woman. I said, well, I'm glad you like being a woman. Amen. Amen. You wouldn't think that's a big deal, but now that's a big deal. There's women don't like being women. Amen. No matter what you think about Doc Ruckman, I'm telling you what, that guy was almost prophetical sometimes. I heard him preach a message. I've mentioned it. I need to get it again. That message, 1979. And he made this statement. I've laughed so hard about it. I laughed back then, but this is 79. And he said, I remember when a man looked like a woman and a woman looked like a man, and now they are. That's 79 he said that. I thought, good night, did the guy see something. Whew, man, that's a mess. Listen, God made you man, be a man. Well, I just don't feel much. Well, then ignore your feelings and work on it. Amen. Go fall in a mud pit or something like that. Amen. We got a septic system out there. It's got a filter in it. It needs to be cleaned out. You go do that, you'll feel like a man. Amen. I'm looking for some men. Amen. There's something about the idea of a man, I can take that, I can do that. There's something about that. Jake and I went out, we were looking, he likes football cards, we were looking for some football cards. They were all gone. You couldn't find the football cards. Now, we had massive amounts of that Dungeons Magic cards. They're all over the place. I mean, bunches of them. Couldn't find football cards. So I'm looking around for sports cards. They had no baseball cards, no football cards. They did have women's soccer cards, a lot of them. I'm just telling you what was at the store on the shelf. That's all I'm doing. You say, well, I like women's soccer. I don't even like soccer at all, but I don't like women's football. There's nothing thrilling to me to watch some woman. They're trying to get women into football now. There was some girl in school, and they were real thrilled because she was getting on the boys' football team. I'd have quit. I would have quit. Amen. I don't want to be on. I'm spending too much time on this, aren't I? I'm telling you, this bugs the life out of me. It really does. Well, I think women can do that. Women can smoke cigars too. Tell me, is it comely? And I'm not suggesting you're a guy, go out and chew on a cigar and smoke on it, but I mean, I think women have degraded themselves. Now, let me be very, very careful with this. Let me be very careful with this. Because there's ladies today that have got to go out and get a job where they normally wouldn't want to get a job, doing what they normally wouldn't want to do, but they had a man walk out on them or a man that wouldn't help them, and they're just trying to take care of their kids. God bless that lady. And so when you drive by the road crew and you see a woman out there and it doesn't look like a woman because she's just out there with the sign or doing whatever, just remember you've got some of them just trying to take care of their kids. God bless her. But I just do, you know, I taught him to open doors. I open doors. I open doors for my wife. I'll hold doors, ladies walking out, thank you. Every once in a while you get one walk out and looks like they're mad at you because you held the door and you wish you'd slammed it on them, amen. I said, you wish you slammed it. I never feel that way, but you do, I know, yeah. All right, drop down to verse 6. Anyway, look what it says in verse 3. It says, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000. Now, there's about three songs in Revelation. You've got that song over there, Worthy is the Lamb, that's us. You've got this song here, that's the 144,000 that are singing the song. And you got later on, I believe they come out of Great Tribulation, and they're singing a song. They're not the same song. This is a song of Moses. This once again reinforces the idea the Great Tribulation wasn't made for you. You're a New Testament saint. You're part of the body of Christ. You're out of here, praise God. Doesn't mean we're not going to have some tribulation before we get to that great one. But it does mean we're not going through the wrath of God. We're not going through that thing, amen. These are Jews. Now go over to Deuteronomy. Look what it says, Deuteronomy. And I'll show you the passage. You can read it later. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'd like to a degree, but we won't. Deuteronomy 32, please. Deuteronomy chapter 32. In Deuteronomy 32, chapter 31, last verse, 30. Look what it says. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this what? Song, until they were ended. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Look up here. They're singing this after the stuff we've read's going on. You get it? It was Rehoboam over there that after the 10 northern tribes left, he went to go fight them. He came back. He started getting wicked, and God brought a king down and put him under oppression. And you know what they did? They humbled themselves and they said this, "The Lord is righteous." And God heard that, and he said, they're not going to go into captivity. They're not going to be, he said, but I'm going to give them a little bit of relief here. Why? The Lord is right. You know what he's saying? We got exactly what we deserve. Do you see what they're saying? When someone gets right, you can always tell if they're really getting right with God or if they're getting right because they want the waters to smooth out. Jonah never got right with God. He just wanted out of the belly of the whale. Once he got out of the belly of the whale, he got angry at God's mercy. You say, why? Because Jonah didn't want to get right with God. Jonah just wanted out of the trouble. Have you ever asked yourself that question? I certainly have. Look what he says. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, look what it says in verse 13. Back in verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him to ride high places of the earth, and he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him... You know what? I'm not going to go through that. I'm just going to go ahead and stop because we're going to kill our time on that. But you need to read chapter 32 knowing that you're reading something they're going to be singing up in the future. He said they sang the song of Moses. All right? We'll go back to Revelation 14, verse 6. And verse 6 through 20, I'm just going to tell you this. Verse 6 through 20, I call them the angels of the harvest. You got verse 6, another angel. You got verse 8, another angel. You got verse 9, another angel. You got verse 15, another angel. You got verse 17, another angel. You got verse 18, another angel. This is clearly the harvest because it ends with verse 19 and 20. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and was cast in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle by a space of 1,600 furlongs. That's where you get tip of the Battle of Armageddon, bridle high. That's one of the places they get it. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. You've got six angels here. They're not the angels that blew their trumpets. They're not the angels that pour their vials out. They're another angel. And you say, well, what other angel are they? I have no idea. Angels. Angels are mentioned in the book of Revelation over 68 times. There's a lot of angels in here, okay? And this isn't one of the other angels. This is another angel, all right? And so you got a lot of other angels here. Now, what are they? Well, let's look at verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying, here's the gospel, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give the glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So fear God, give him the glory. That's what you're supposed, that's called the gospel. That's called the everlasting gospel. You say, well, that'd be kind of obvious to give God the glory. Well, not necessarily. Go over if you would. Go over if you would to chapter, let me see if I can find it here. Go to chapter 16. Go to chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 20. Back up to verse 19. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. You know, sometimes when God judges you, they don't repent, they don't give God the glory, they just shake a fist at it. And so the message is, you get God the glory. In the middle of judgment, in the middle of plagues, in the middle of hail firing, give God the glory. It'd be kind of like this. It'd be kind of like someone walking out over Mead Lake today on the backside of the Hoover Dam and looking way down to that water that used to be right up here and seeing that line of it's decreased and decreased, looking at it and saying, Lord, you're righteous. That's what it'd be like. Lord, you're righteous. You ever done that? You ever have God bring judgment and God say, God, you're right. You're right in everything you did. But that is, that's giving God the glory. So, well, we can give God the glory right now. We're sitting in an air-conditioned room, climate control on padded pews. We came here in, most likely in climate-controlled cars. What we say giving God the glory is just being glad that God made it easy on us. There's Christians in Afghanistan tonight losing their life. When those disciples were beaten and sent out, they thanked God they were counted worthy to suffer for His namesake. They gave God the glory. When Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in the inner prison, they sang praises to God at midnight. Do not take it lightly. Give God the glory. That's the deal. That's what they have to do. The angel John saw, besides those fighting in Revelation chapter 12, those seven angels, the last angel he saw was chapter 11. This was another angel. Angels are all over the place. These six angels have a part in the events preceding the second coming of Christ. Look, and I've already read verse 19 and 20. Chapter 14 is an overlap of chapter 13 time-wise. How do you know that? Look in chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. So there's a warning to those that will take the mark, am I correct, and worship the beast, right? Back up over here to chapter 13. And look what it says. Verse 15. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast. Goes back, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. And obviously, verse 9 puts us back in verse 13. They overlap. They're in overlapping chapters, all right? You've got these things taking place, so it's not this chronological thing necessarily between 13 and 14. Y'all get that? You see that? All right? There's a warning. Don't take that. So these things are overlapping. Look in Revelation. Yeah, I already showed you Revelation. Look in 14:6. The first angel preaches the everlasting gospel, okay? Now, what's the everlasting gospel? Man, I'm killing time like crazy. Gospel simply means good news. The gospel was preached to Abraham. You know what the gospel was? In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the gospel, according to Galatians. In thee shall all the nations... Aren't you glad? Could you have gotten saved if someone came and said, well, in Abraham, all the nations of the earth be blessed? Yeah, you couldn't. Let's be honest. But the Bible calls it a gospel. It was good news. It was good news. But you know what? That good news wasn't clear until the Son of God came and showed up. Then it was manifest. But not until He showed up was it manifest. And you know what? Well, Abraham saw his day and rejoiced in it. He saw the promise of his seed. He saw that day. But don't tell me he saw someone. Someone's going to come named Jesus Christ. Now, I think that the wise men were from the line of Abraham, the ones he sent to the east. I think that. I don't know how much he knew, but I know this. I know what was preached to him according to the Galatians is, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I want you to look at this. Listen to this. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Look back up if you would. I'm just going to, you know, you just think about it, all right? Just think about it. Go to Acts, and I've shown it to you before. I'm going to show it to you again. I'm not saying, can I please tell you that I'm not saying someone, anyone is ever born again by works. Say amen right there. But I want to show you in chapter 3 of Acts. Look what it says. John preached the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Peter, post-resurrection ascension, preached the gospel of the kingdom. And what the gospel of the kingdom is the kingdom's coming, get ready. And in one place, he said, if you give something back to it, you know, and you nothing, what are we supposed to do to get ready? You know where they said that? He said, if you borrowed something, give it back, right? Y'all remember that? That's what he said to get ready for the kingdom. Isn't it odd to you that he didn't say, well, believe? Now, John did say that they should believe on him who should come, but they can't believe on him until he comes. Over here in Acts 3, it says this, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. Once again, am I reading that wrong? Or does that say, repent and be converted, so your sins will be blotted out sometime in the future? That is not the gospel you believe. Amen. Now, I understand it. It's not saying you can get saved this way, but you can prepare yourself for the kingdom that way. Amen. The kingdom is a righteous kingdom. So he says this. There's different gospels. There's the gospel of Abraham, the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of grace, the Apostle Paul. And here's the everlasting gospel. You know, sometimes there's the gospel is good news, but sometimes there's just enough good news to get you in trouble. For instance, how many understand that the glory of God can be seen in creation? How many understand that if you didn't believe in God, if you have any sense about you, look out at creation and you know there's a God, right? Is that light? Is that light? That's enough light to damn you. It's not enough to save you. Nobody gets saved looking at nature. No matter how many people say, go out into the church of nature. It's the best church we've got. Yes, yes, Sean Hattie, I hear you. Good night. Chapter 14, verse 8. There fall another angel. This second angel, he said, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And he's calling out the destruction of Babylon. This destruction of Babylon takes place at the second coming, according to chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You may not know it, but if you went to Jeremiah and Isaiah, that's exactly what it says that Babylon becomes. All right, but look what it says. He says it's fallen. All right, so it falls at the second coming. Babylon looks to me, this Babylon looks to me to be the same as the whore of Revelation 17. Notice verse 8. It says this. First of all, it says, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. Go to chapter 17. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Sounds to me like same person. All right? So this Babylon being spoken of is the whore. All right? There's another one on that. Let's see. She's a she. All right? Babylon is a mystery. Let me tell you some things about Babylon. Babylon is a mystery. Once again, go back to the idea of that mystery Babylon, that religion, that goddess worship, that I'm telling you, everything's moving that direction. And everything in our society is moving that direction. Everything in the world's moving that direction. And the idea is worship the goddess, the great spirit, the great goddess of the earth. They've even got, there's pictures of Gaia as a pregnant woman with a globe, an earth. Yeah, it's a weird looking thing. You say, why? Because that's where it's going. Maybe you understand now why we're all upset because of global warming, and we've got to save the earth, and we've got to protect Mother Earth, and we have to, earth. I got news for you. The earth is far more resilient than you have. It blows my mind what the arrogance of man is. He thinks he can mess this place up. Do you remember a few years back when that oil rig down in the Gulf started pumping all kinds of crude into the Gulf, right? And it washed up onto the Louisiana shore and so on like that. Bobby Jindal called a bunch of, and I know one of the guys, I may have told you before, I know one of the guys he called. Called a bunch of scientists and said, can you give me anything to get this cleaned up? It's all muck on the... Said, yeah, one of them said, yeah, I've got something to clean it up. He said, but my advice is leave it alone. And he said, that's what all the scientists are saying. Do you know at that very same time, there was one off the coast of Europe that was doing the same thing, pumping oil into the ocean? Do you know that oil blurps out of the ocean floor all the time? Do you know that there's microbes that eat that stuff? They eat that stuff. I remember, I'm getting old enough now to where I can say, I remember this happening. All right? There's a plus side and a minus side to it, but I lived through the Exxon Valdez. I lived through it. I remember when it wrecked. And I remember them saying, you know, I'll try to take Dawn and wash all the little baby birds off and stuff like that and so on, you know. You think that goes on widespread? No, they get one baby bird, they do a photo op. Yeah. Good night. One of them, I don't know if that's true, it is. One of them said, you know, of course, the oils in a bird's feathers is what keeps them afloat, you know. Someone said they washed one off and threw it back in the water and it sunk. I don't know, but it's funny. It's not funny. No, that's terrible. That's a good meal gone to the bottom of the ocean, all right? You know what? I'm trying to be good, but when you can't, just let her go, right? I remember when that happened, and I remember them saying this. I remember it. They said, it will be decades before the ecosystem fixes and takes care of itself. Decades! And I remember in 5 years seeing an advertisement from Alaskan Chamber of Commerce, come to Alaska. Prince William Sound is virtually healed from the Exxon Valdez accident. I thought, decades, half a decade. And as usual, all the experts don't back up and say, we were wrong. The closest one that did that was that guy that made Microsoft. After he came out and said, I think some of our assumptions that we based this on were incorrect. And I said, what? This is all because of assumptions? Oh, but they're scientific assumptions. That's scientific? Listen, if that was shooting a gun, we would say you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And yet we're told to listen to you again. I don't want to get on it. Man, she is a mystery. The Bible calls her a mystery Babylon. She rides the back of the kings of this earth, according to Revelation 17. Now go to Isaiah 47 real fast. Isaiah 47. And what you got to learn to do is identify her. That's what you got to do. You got to be able to recognize her in society, and you got to be recognize her in religion. You got to be able to see, there she is again. Amen, amen. Look what it says in Isaiah 47. Because she touches everything, and she affects everything. This mystery Babylon, this whore, messes everything up, touches everything, taints kings, taints culture, taints economics, it taints everything. Look in Isaiah, she's given a pleasure, verse 8 of 47. Therefore hear now this, thou that are given to pleasure, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Look what it says in verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. That's who? She's given to pleasure. So you know what? Could I say this? Could I say that America has been affected by her? Because there's one true thing about America, is we are given to pleasure. But I heard many years ago when we started throwing all of our manufacturing overseas. We used to make stuff. I got a, you know, Moog, the bearings and all that kind of stuff. I had to get a lower control arm for my car, or for my wife's car, this week. So I go up to the shop and they say it's Moog. And I thought, great Moog, because, you know, if you go up to some of these places and you get theirs, they may have a lifetime guarantee, but that means you're going to be changing it every about 6 months, all right? And so it's just junk stuff, right? So I want something decent. Moog's supposed to be a good. And I looked at it. I don't know what the guys across the counter thought, but I looked at it, looked at the bottom, and it says, made in China. You know what the funny thing about it is I took, Preston, you help me. We took a bolt off, and it was metric. We go to put the next one on, and it's American standard. So it's made in China with American standard. The car is made in America with metric. We used to make stuff around here. We did. And I remember when that we quit making things. When we started shipping it overseas, I heard him say this, America is the playground of the world. Don't you understand why everybody wants to get their stuff here? It's because we're the ones that buy and play with it and throw it away. That's why they want to get it here. We spend untold billions, if not trillions of dollars, just to have fun. We will spend $100 to go up higher than we want to go, down faster than we want to go, and stay on the thing longer than we want to stay on it, and get off and say, wow, that was great. That's us. Meaningless? I mean, I'm not saying walk around with a sad look on your face and do, you know, just do nothing. But do you realize how much we spend? No one cooks anymore. I know. Microwave, 7 minutes. I understand that. Or open the can, drop it out, but you didn't pick it, you didn't grow it, you didn't string it, you didn't can it. You realize how much more time would be involved if we really had to do something from scratch? We're not sure what scratch is anymore. I will tell you this, scratch is not getting a bunch of biscuits that are frozen and throw it in the microwave. That's not scratch. I was recently at a place, and lady made us some bread, and she said, I ground the wheat. I said, you what? She said, I ground the wheat. You ground the wheat? I wouldn't have known. It wasn't like wheat bread you get at the store. It was actually a little fluffy and soft and so on like that. She ground the wheat. I said, can you show me what they grind it in? I didn't know. I just thought that, you know, it came out of bags at Kroger. That's what I thought. You see my point? But my point is this. My point is, with every modern ease and every time-saving element, we have more time to waste. You know what one of the sins of Sodom, according to the Bible, was? They had an abundance of time. Idleness of time is what it said. Idleness of time. How many here, don't raise your hand, have said, I just don't have enough time? I bet if we got rid of a lot of stuff, meant nothing in our life, we might have some more. And I'm not trying, maybe you don't. I'm not trying to say it's across the board, but I know this, I waste enough of it. Say why? Just fun. And once again, I'm not trying to say, let's just, you know, be prudes and not do anything. I'm not saying that. She was given to pleasure. Verse 9 says, she's filled with sorceries. Is that where I'm at? No. Go down, if you would, to verse 12. Now stand with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now thy astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up. I looked that word prognostic, I can't say it, but I looked it up. Pro means before. Gnostic means an esoteric knowledge or understood by few. In the Greek, it means knowing or knowledge. That's what the word means, gnosis. Gnosis. Knowing before. I've said this for several years. Man's got a preoccupation with predicting the future. You know why we're in the COVID mess we're in? It's because someone tried to predict the future. They had meetings every October where they would have a pandemic play, just in case. I told my wife back in 2000, I said, they want a pandemic for some reason. I don't know why. They want one. It was the bird flu. Then it was the swine flu. And this is going to kill us. And that's going to kill us. And this is going to kill us. Oh, get ready. Now it's not Delta. It's what's coming. It hasn't even got here yet. And here's what the news says. The next one might be worse than them all. Did you just report the news and say might? Then you don't know, do you, you buffoon? Take the pen away, take the processor away, and make him sweep a floor somewhere. How dare them say might just to scare us? No, I got to be the first to say it. It used to be the news media always wanted to be the first before the other guy was the first. Now, they're into predictions to be the first. Anybody watch the weather? It's a waste of time. I think it was a couple of days ago, Jake was looking at it and he said, it's going to rain Thursday and Friday. That is until Wednesday. Right. I mean, just keep checking back. You say, what? These people can't get it right. And yet they're the experts. Next time you hear someone say an expert, laugh heartily, laugh loud, and make sure they can see. Experts. You know what it is? Listen, the things of the future belong to God. That's it. I can find this in the Bible when it comes to weather. Red skies in the morning, sailor's warning. Red skies at night, sailor's delight. I can find that in the Bible. It works. It works. Take a look at the sky before you go to bed. Take a look when you get up. Oh, that's right. You'd have to get up before the sun rises to be able to do that. You're right. Yeah. Get up before the sun rises and look out. You look at it. I'm sorry. Amen. It's filled with merchandise. I got to finish here, okay? Verse 15 of Isaiah 47. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. She's into merchandise and she has merchants. Now, this is what's always puzzled me, and I'm going to finish off here because I have to finish off here, okay? One thing's always puzzled me about Babylon over in Revelation when Babylon's destroyed. The merchants of the earth says, by her we got our wealth. Check me out. They're upset because the moneymaker's gone. And I'm sitting back saying, how is that? Now, I can't prove this. I'm just going to throw something out there to you. America is now approaching $30 trillion in debt, as every single country in this world is in debt, most of them in the trillions. But debt is a marketable commodity. People own debt. And when they own debt, according to the Bible, they own you. And so I'm not trying to... I understand we're in debt. My question is, to who? Because whoever we're in debt to is the master. People say, no, well, China. No, that was a long time ago. China's in debt too. All the world is in debt. And I'll tell you what I wonder. You know, in World War II, that there was a lot of Jewish wealth, and a lot of Jewish art, a lot of Jewish artifacts they found in possession of the Catholic Church. You knew that, right? Yeah. Nobody knows how wealthy that institution is. Had thousands of years to amass wealth, and I know this. I know that virtually every single country that it's ever gotten a foothold in, it bankrupts that country. Go take a look at Mexico across the border. Take a look at America. Is that not where we're headed? And I kind of wonder to myself how much of that institution's fingers are into loaning to countries. I wonder. I really wonder. I wonder how much, because you know what the golden rule is, right? He that hath the gold rules. And if she owns the wealth, or even a good portion of it, she's getting exactly what she's always wanted. World dominion. By the way, you understand that she's not the beast. She's riding the beast, right? Right? You do understand that Babylon is the woman, and Babylon in Revelation 18 is destroyed, right? You know who destroys her? 10 horns. Because the 10 horns hate her. You know what I think? I think at some point, the beast doesn't need her anymore. They have the same goal. The same goal is world dominion. You can't have two groups that think they should be the king. And I think at some point, I think the 10 horns on the beast, they hate her and they destroy her and they burn her with fire. If it's right all through the ages, and if that is, if the home court of that thing in Revelation 17 is Vatican, you watch someday in the future, it's going to burn. Now, we're not going to be here when it happens, but it's going to burn. And it's going to be the political beast that's going to burn it. Amen. And I didn't get done with it. All right. Put your Bibles away. Put your notes away.